T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, 11:03 on the Fan, hour 2 of our radio program. Joe and Evan, we are live and in living color from the Palm Westside Restaurant, 250 West 50th Street here in Midtown Manhattan. And, of course, we'll be here till 1 o'clock. Then Mike San Francesco on the Fan will come your way. Of course, Ernie Acosta and Steve Appria with us here at Palm. And, of course, back in Hudson Street, Tommy Lugauer and Matt Casey. And Joe and Evan live from the Palm Westside, brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. And by the Palm Westside, the classic Italian steakhouse. It's 11 o'clock, 11:03 on a football Friday. And, of course, joining us right now, the two-time Super Bowl champion, number 58 in your program, does a great job as the color analyst with Bob Papa on the Giant radio broadcast. And that, of course, is Carl Banks. Carl, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Wonderful.
Well, we talk to you Monday at 11. Mm-hmm. Will Carmelo Anthony still be a Nick?
It's so interesting. He doesn't even know. Legit.
It's all up to him. I mean,
no, not
all he's
really.
Got to do is wave that no trade. He's going to Portland, baby.
And I don't name drop, but I actually.
Who'd you speak to? Okay?
I spent a little time with him.
With Melo?
Yeah.
Oh.
A couple
are you,
days type, ago.
You and Melo were hanging?
Oh. We had some other stuff we were talking about. Oh. And he legit said he didn't know. He's like, training camp is starting, and I have no idea if I'm going to be here or
this
somewhere
is,
else.
This changed our conversation because now your buddy's with Melo, so now I got like a lot of questions.
Nope.
Number one.
Nope. I couldn't answer any of them.
Oh, come
not
on.
Answering
come
any.
On.
I couldn't answer any of them. All
but
I can tell you is he doesn't know. As of 2 days ago, he didn't know.
What does he think about the city of Portland? Does he have an opinion about the city?
I didn't ask him.
Great city.
But we have friends in Portland at Nike.
Oh, okay. It's a great city.
Yeah.
Great food.
He wears Nike shoes, and they, you know, the headquarters is in Portland.
Sure. Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah, so I know that he knows something about Portland.
Is he still with Lala?
I didn't get into all of that.
That's your next one.
I didn't get into any of that, believe me. That's the last. I would probably be the last person he would
can
even have a conversation
somehow,
with.
Somehow get this guy on our show. Because and we wouldn't be mean, because I have great respect for the
you
guy.
Get Melo on.
And there's a question.
I, you know what? I don't even.
But if you're that tight with him.
I never said I was that tight with
well,
him.
Well, God knows the Knicks aren't helping us with that.
The trailblazer.
Well, yeah, right. When he goes to Portland,
we're
then maybe we'll get him on.
Other
then,
business,
then we got a
but,
chance. Right.
Yeah, obviously, you guys know I'm a huge fan of his, but and I'm not speaking as an authority or a representative of his, but I just asked as a fan. We were sitting there, and I said, "So where do we make our next starter jacket?"
You know, he's like, that's a good way to ask it.
Yeah,
I like
he's like, he said, "To be honest, I have no idea." He said, "Hopefully, he'll know. Training camp starts in a couple of days, and." He doesn't even know.
You had a lot of restraint, man, because like I would have, and I'm not even a Knicks fan, I would have asked him like to the point where he would have said, get away from me.
Well, he wouldn't.
I don't want
that.
I don't want that guy.
He wouldn't have given us any answers.
No,
I
know.
He's Carl Banks. You know, who
are
we?
But I didn't, you know, you have to respect that kind of stuff when you're with people and we're talking some other business. And I didn't want to violate any type of relationship or friendship I have with him by – you know, becoming the reporter.
I mean, I understand.
If I wanted to become that guy, I'd have said, listen, I got to ask you for my folks at the radio station or whatever. And, you know, it's not that type of relationship. So
he does seem like a good dude.
He's a really good dude. Really good dude.
Did you ask him the direction, what the Knicks are doing right now? Did he like what they're doing right now?
He has no idea what they're doing either.
He doesn't have an idea.
He has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea what they're doing.
Bringing in Beasley, bringing in Jared Jack. He didn't talk about any of that.
No, but you know what? I think he's going to go along with whatever. He played in the triangle and didn't complain. So whatever the system is, I'm sure he's going to do his best. That's been his MO. Have we ever seen since he's been in New York where he just rebelled against the system?
I think he rebelled against D'Antoni. I don't know if it was
not the system, because the system was conducive
to his
style.
Wasn't necessarily the system, but I think he clearly had something to do with Mike not being around.
Possibly,
long-term.
Yeah.
He didn't like Phil. We know that.
He didn't rebel. He played and kept.
No, he did, but it doesn't mean he didn't like him though.
Well, Well, yeah, I mean, there's often that type of thing going on.
And what's funny is now he wants to go back there.
Kevin Durant, in third person, decided that, you know, he didn't, after all this time, we thought he was just a good soldier and he didn't like Billy Donovan. So.
Yeah, I know. He may have left because he didn't like Billy Donovan and that, or maybe didn't like the organization.
Yeah.
That was some funny stuff. Carl Banks Report is brought to you by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. Eric Flowers said the other day, you know what? I had some good moments. There were three plays that makes everybody think I had a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joe watched every snap. I watched every snap, as did you.
Mm-hmm.
My impression is that he had a bad game overall. It wasn't just three plays.
Sure.
What's your opinion on the play of Eric Flowers and his opinion on his own play?
Well, obviously, he's a work in progress. And in crucial moments, they can't afford to leave him out against experienced pass rushers or specialists and expect him to hold up every single time. So I think he's a work in progress. What I do like about him is he's a fighter. He hasn't quit. And I can assure you that a lot of guys that are no longer on the Giants roster would have packed it in and called it a season, you know. But he's taking the arrows. He's willing to get better. And they have to give him help. Let's just put it that way. I'm not excusing it. It's an issue that the Giants have to deal with. It's and I know for those outside of that are not outside of New York, it doesn't matter. But I just posted a tweet from Business Insider that Bill Belichick was talking about how it's tough with offensive linemen right now because of the rules that have been put in place. But they're rules that everyone has to play with. And they have to do the best they can. Some teams have...
You're talking about the practice rules?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in terms of developing young offensive linemen coming out of college. And there are about 20 teams that are dealing with this in one way, shape, or form. If they've got young offensive linemen, believe me, they're dealing with it. Dallas has a guard that they, you know, they have to continuously help out. Philadelphia has a guy on their offensive line. And then there are other teams that have more than one player. But... it is the rules everyone has to play.
And it's not changing. It's not going
to change. Well, it's going to change.
How?
It will change. That aspect of it.
But by who? Because
the rules
like,
are going to change?
That
saying?
Rule
the practice
will change.
Rules?
Let me just say something. The most valuable asset in the NFL are quarterbacks. These guys start getting banged around a little bit. They've always changed the rules in favor of quarterback performance and safety. And if those things are universally bad, if quarterbacks are just getting banged up, then they're going to do something to help protect
them. I give you the reason why I don't think it would ever change. I was listening to an interview. I think Florio did it with Eric Winston, who's mm-hmm. the president of the Players Association. And he asked him about this. And he said not one player has ever come to him and said, hey, we need to practice more. So the players have
no
motivation to change it.
No,
so,
but
the
Eric
owners,
Winston is the guy who wants the league to burn down. And he doesn't care.
Burn down?
Well, he doesn't care if it goes out of business. He says in 20 years he doesn't care if it's around anymore.
Yeah, but they're trying to help players of today. If you don't have players willing to want to practice more, are the owners going to give something else up? You know what I mean?
Well, listen, it's in everybody's best interest. And it's not a matter of practicing more. It's the ability to work with your players.
Mm-hmm.
The most alarming thing is they have cameras at facilities now to see if a coach is staying after practice to work with a player. Now, don't tell me a guy.
Big brother's watching.
Right. Don't tell me a guy, if a guy is struggling, if he could stay after in basketball, if he could stay after practice with a shooting coach and shoot another 1,000 baskets.
Which guys do.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be okay, right?
Or take extra hitting with the hitting coach if you're
right.
playing baseball.
Well, you can't
or whatever
do that in football.
Be.
But you can't.
That's ridiculous.
The clock starts when they walk on the field,
right.
And the cameras are on.
All
and
I'm asking
everybody's
is
everybody's got to be off.
The only thing I'm asking is, I agree it would be better. It's absurd that it isn't allowed. Is who is going to fight for it to change? That's my only question. If the players aren't going to fight for it, are the owners?
The players will fight for it.
You think
too.
So?
Eric,
right.
I mean, listen, Winston.
You don't
has,
like Eric Winston, clearly.
I don't care. I don't care for Eric Winston. One way or the other, I don't care.
Okay.
You know, I just think.
Your reaction is great.
Because I don't care. I mean, this guy just decides he doesn't care about the league when it's over, when he's done. So, but my point is, it's in everybody's, the player's best interest and the league's best interest to help players develop. And here's why. The college and high school programs are no longer under obligation to prepare players for the next level.
Right.
They serve
right.
their own interests, yep. and nobody can blame them for that.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? So when you go get a guy and you're prospecting, and this is, again, I am not defending an Eric Flowers pick or any general manager. Whatever he picks, he's responsible for. But I'm saying as a whole, the kids are the offensive linemen are fundamentally flawed because they do not practice. They do not play with those techniques that are used in the pro level. So it's either going to be a developmental league or you're going to allow coaches to help develop players because the quality of the guys who are up front that have to protect quarterbacks is going down, and that means quarterbacks are going to get hit. And we've seen – if one thing that will force a rule change is hits on quarterbacks. That has been universally accepted.
With that said – when is the point of no return for Eric Flowers? Because at some point, if this continues, there's going to have to be a switch at left tackle.
I can't tell you that. I do know that it has to get better. And how that gets better, it could be with help. I don't know what the timetable is. I would personally say I would give it 3 years, but I don't know the progress per se that they're looking for. He may be progressing in some areas that they say, okay, we're going to give him some help, but we see some things that he's doing well. But I think, you know, most teams where you need to see a body of work and they're only getting it in game situations, they've got to be a little more patient. But that doesn't mean you have to leave a guy out on the island and let him fail. You've got to give him help. You've got to tailor offenses around better offensive line play. It's just that simple.
We got more coming up with Carl Banks. We're live here from Palm Restaurant West Side. We'll get the keys to the local games for both teams, the Giants and the Jets. And we'll take some of your calls with Carl as well, 877-337-6666, here on a Football Friday.
Radio.com.
Carl Banks is with us, but Ingo and Roberts live on a Football Friday from Palm Restaurant, West Side. All right, what are your feelings going into this game? Because obviously, starting 0-3 ain't good. Starting 0-2 in the division ain't good.
Sure.
Your feel for this Giant team trying to get a big win in Philadelphia?
I think they'll put it together and get a win. And these last two games, if it wasn't panic mode, I'm sure it was very alarming. And being in the building this week, you can tell there was a sense of urgency because this team, I think, to a man, believes they have too much talent to be this bad. But it comes down to them. You'll hear the players say there were plays to be made in the game that they did not make. And I think they'll do enough to figure it out and get it done. I know I have a really good feeling that offensively – is the area where they'll give the help where it's needed without having to sacrifice everything to protect the quarterback. I think they'll have some schematics that will help protect. They'll try to run the football. I think
that's
they will.
The key, right? They got to run the football. They don't even make attempts. I know Paul Perkins went for 9 yards or whatever it was, but they've run the fewest rushing attempts in the NFL, even fewer than the team that only played one game.
In all fairness,
Miami,
too. They have a ton of three and outs, so they don't have an opportunity to really get into a rhythm.
Run
so
less
that,
plays, yeah.
Yeah, so I think they'll – I have a pretty good feeling about Sunday, and I can't tell you what specifically they're going to do other than protect their quarterback, but I think offensively they'll be more productive as a result of that, and that could be a function of running the ball and some play-action pass, and then they'll be able to protect the quarterback a bit better. But – defensively, too, I think when this defense takes the field, they've got to take the field with the sense of being a complement to whatever's going on in the game. It's just not playing defense now. It's and the coach talked about playing complementary football. Well, and I said it, if the offense got a three and out, you can't let the other team's offense move the ball down, punt from the 50-yard line, and pin your offense back.
Right.
You know, those stops have got to come early in drives, and it should, you know, if you're the defense that you say you are, you get the three and outs too. You know, make it one of those type of slugfests and see who get the best field position.
Do you see Beckham getting a full both this week?
From all indications, yes. He's said as much, and he's not on the injury report at all.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly should be more than last week. I mean, it was good to have him back on the field, but he was only out there for...
And it was everything was underneath. Yeah. I mean, everything was, you know, 5-6
yard route.
Well,
nothing was going deep anyway.
Well, yeah. No. But they threw the one pass down the sideline over nice if Brandon caught the ball. Yeah. But, I mean, that, which was a huge play in the game, by the way.
Yeah, they had two. They had Jarrell Adams caught his.
Right.
And then the other one was...
Right.
But they just weren't giving up a lot of deep balls. And until the Giants can get a guy in the box, that means they've got to run the football. They won't get favorable down vertical passing opportunities.
I like the Eagles this year. I mean, their offensive line struggled last week. They're facing a very good team in the Kansas City Chiefs. I like the quarterback. They've certainly given him more weapons now, Alshon Jeffrey being brought in.
They got a ton of sacks last week, too, even though they lost the game. They had sacks
against
Kansas City.
They have a defensive line that can get to the quarterback. Their secondary's banged up. They traded for Darby. He's hurt. Overall, it's only 2 weeks. What's your feel for this Philadelphia team?
I think they are a really good football team. Aggressive, very heavy-handed. Their defense is interesting because, and I made the analogy, their defensive backfield's banged up, right?
Right.
And everybody thinks that they can get something on this defensive backfield, but the only problem is you've got to go through the Dobermans and Rottweilers to get to their defensive backfield.
Right.
So there's a pot of gold sitting there if you can get to it, but you got to deal with that front, and that front is as legit as it gets. I mean, they are probably one of the better defensive fronts in football right now because they're very aggressive. They completely understand Jim Schwartz's system. There's no ambiguity. They hit it, and they get it. And they cause chaos. So you've got to really be able to curtail some of that before you can start thinking about getting the ball down the field.
Are you one of these guys that think that McAdoo should give up the play calling?
I'm not a guy who questions who does what in coaching. Sometimes I question decisions in game.
Right.
But I the inner workings of that, we don't know. Like, a coach could say so-and-so's calling the plays, but he may be telling the coordinator to call whatever plays he wants anyway. I want them to have a better feel collectively as coaches of have their finger on the pulse of what's going on in the game. I know West Coast guys have a script, and they like to stick to it. But when things change, you've got to be able to make adjustments, whether he's calling them, the tight end coach is calling them, or the offensive coordinator. But I think they understand that as well, too. I think they see some opportunities they missed as coaches because clearly he said it. Coach Sullivan said that their job is to make sure that they put the players in positions where they can have success. So there's kind of an admission on a lot of fronts that players have to play better, but coaches have to do better at giving them opportunities as well.
You know, this has been one of the hallmarks of Eli Manning and why he's so perfect for New York. He really doesn't care about criticism. And this Ben McAdoo thing that happened, what are we all laughing at? What
Vince,
am I missing?
Is that Will Folk? That's what he's doing.
Oh, on NFL Network.
We're watching
Network.
Him on TV now. That must be the Kingsford Chocolate.
Yes.
There it is.
Yeah, did the commercial.
There's the spot.
We had him on earlier. He's going to be tailgating.
There he is.
He's looking good.
He's everywhere.
He's doing the media rounds.
Why that? Not?
We had him on earlier. He's a Hall of Famer, by the way.
All right, tremendous.
No question. Eli, I think in most other cities, I can't say all, if the head coach had criticized sloppy quarterback play, you could see it becoming a big deal because the quarterback could have been, I won two Super Bowls, like could have taken it personal. Eli lets everything roll off his back, whether it's from the media, whether it's fans, even when it's his head coach. And I thought his head coach was right. It was sloppy quarterback play. And he's just like, yeah, it was. I didn't do the right thing. He's so built for this town, man, because he doesn't let anything bother him.
He's built for football. He's a football player. And he said as much. But football players want to be coached. They have no problem. It wasn't a personal shot. That's a football answer to a football question. You see what I'm saying? They asked McAdoo, what happened? He said, sloppy quarterback play. Eli, what did Eli say? I messed it up.
You
I'm
don't
responsible.
Think others, though, may not have handled it as well.
No. I think most quarterbacks, unless you're part of this new participation trophy crowd where everyone plays and you can't scream at my kid type,
right.
They all, if you're at this level, you want to be coached. You want to be told when you screw it up. And if the coach has to answer that question, he didn't say my quarterback's a piece of garbage.
No.
He didn't say my quarterback's an idiot. He said it was sloppy play, which it was. That's stating the facts. There used to be a time in sports, in football in particular, where that was okay to say. And now everybody's up in arms because the coach actually answers a question truthfully. And that wasn't a personal shot at his quarterback. It was a football answer. And people are so shocked. Oh, my God, how did he throw Eli? You know, he just answered the question, and Eli said as much.
But isn't there also, because I felt when I heard it, I felt that what McAdoo was doing is saying, look, he's basically criticizing the team by going after the best player, the highest profile guy on the team. Hey, look, if I can criticize that guy, anybody can be criticized.
Well, that there was a time in sports where that held true, too. But now everybody's offended by it. But, yes. They always, if you talk to any coach, they always go to the guy that they know that can take it, and it becomes kind of a trickle-down effect. Everybody
Didn't
gets Parcells the message.
Do that with you guys a lot?
A lot, yeah, but every coach does it to this day, and everybody gets the message because they look up and say, well, heck, he just roasted Tom Brady on making a bad pass. I better get my act together. So it's not a...
So I should take my compliment to Eli back.
It's not a new thing.
Forget it, Eli.
But no, everyone needs to just relax a little bit. These coaches understand that their player, they're there for the same reason. And if he answers a question truthfully, and it's a football answer to a football question, let's not make it more than it is.
You know why?
Because the quarterback says, I want to be coached.
You know why I think it was made a bigger deal? I bet... If Tom Coughlin had said it, it wouldn't have been as big of a deal. I think it's because here's Eli, the potential Hall of Famer, the two-time champion, and here's McAdoo, who's been in the league for 1 year as a head coach. I think, Joe, you think I'm right about that, that contributes
maybe.
To it?
Maybe.
But I think if Belichick says it, Coughlin, it's
well,
like...
Well, Belichick is...
Well, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't
matter.
Well, maybe
not for you, but I'm saying from why it was blown
there
up.
Is
you know?
A, but there's a hierarchy. There's management. There's coach. There's player. Okay, if a coach is not allowed to criticize his player, then you just stripped your coach of the power that you hired him to have. And if a player can't be coached, then you got the wrong coach because they're just going to run over the coach. So there's a respect level.
Right.
And I think though fans don't understand it, Coach McAdoo has earned the respect of his players. They respect him. He created and established a culture of accountability, and they all bought into it. So for those who think he doesn't have the right to criticize, well, then he doesn't need to be a coach because every coach that puts on a headset, whether it's at Pop Warner, middle school, high school, college, or pro, they're to be respected as coach, as the authority, and they're not, like I said, this is not an abusive situation. He answered a football question, and players respect that because there's a environment of accountability. He established that. The players bought into it. Those who didn't want to be accountable are probably not on the team.
We got more coming up with Carl Banks. We'll get the keys to the local game. We'll take some of your calls, 877-337-6666, plus Peter King in the noon hour, NFL Picks noon hour, broadcasting live on a Football Friday from Palm West Side.
Radio.com.
I have been to Veterans only for a Philly Met game. And it's bad.
That's a
I can
stadium.
Only
yeah,
imagine.
There.
Yeah, I was never there for football. I've been to the link for football.
It's bad.
Oh.
It was really bad. Football wise?
Yeah, no.
Is it an urban legend or was it true that they actually had a jail inside Veterans
they
Stadium?
They had that. But they went all the way rogue there. I mean, there you talk about the old throw rocks at the bus type thing. It was all of that.
Yeah.
It was all kinds
of
stuff.
It was the stereotype, basically.
I am told, by the way, Ira has told me, you know, Ira who goes to every Jet game he has.
Yes.
The worst place is Buffalo. Now, I've never been to Buffalo for a game.
I get it.
But he says they make Foxborough look like
You know
Miami.
Why I believe that? You know why I believe that? If you live in Buffalo or in that surrounding area, what do you have outside?
No, you got nothing.
This
Sabres.
Is it.
You got the Sabres.
Yeah, you got it. Right. It's hot.
You got the wild, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever.
You know? Well, you have that everywhere.
Right.
So Chicken this wings. Is their 8 times a year where they can, you know, go mm-hmm. crazy. At least the Patriot fans, you know, they have the Red Sox.
They do. The Celtics.
They have
Bruins.
The Celtics. They have Boston. They have a nice. Yeah. Boston's a very nice city. I think in Buffalo, this is all you have. And I think with Philadelphia, the Eagle fan is not going to care about the Jets the once every 8 years they come in.
No, well, I went to an Eagles Jet game there. So
was it bad?
No, they left me alone.
Yeah, because
I had my, you know, I had a Jet jersey on and all.
Yeah, because I think they're
we
like,
lost, of course. So yeah, you know,
exactly.
They never beat the Eagles, by the way. You know that?
No, I know.
The only team the Jets have never beaten is the Eagles.
Well, how many is?
Well, they haven't played
it's like
a lot.
Six or seven.
It's something like.
It's
that.
It's not a big number.
Yeah.
Anyhow, to put a bow on this, download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Evan today. Let's get the keys to the local game. They're brought to you by your local Kia dealers. And also, I should say, Discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. The keys to the Giants getting the first win of the year as well.
Well, I think the key is to play complementary football. But on the offensive side of the ball, they've got to establish a run. And stating the obvious, protect the quarterback. This is a big challenge for the Giants' offensive line. Versus this defensive line.
Sure.
So they've got to establish some type of protection for the quarterback. But defensively, they've got to play better. They've got to stop the run. They have not been very good against the run. They're very soft on the edges. Secure the edges on the run.
Good thing is, the Eagles don't run the ball. Well, they got that going for them.
But the Giants will have to create turnovers on defense. That's the other area when you talk complementary football. Get turnovers to get your offense the ball back, too.
And then the offense can't turn it over immediately thereafter.
Yeah, well.
We saw that on Monday night.
That happens sometimes, and your defense gets pissed off, and they go back out there and try to get them the ball back again. Special teams have to be better. I don't think the Giants' return games have impacted any game this year positively. They've got to have a positive impact in their return games as well in special teams.
What about the Jets?
Play hard, have fun, man.
We're still doing that.
Hope the Dolphin team bus doesn't make it to the game.
Play hard, have fun. I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to say. I just was reading somewhere where the Mr. Johnson, Woody's brother, said that every player in the locker room goes out and expects to win, so they're not tanking. Of course not.
They're not tanking, sure.
Right. But
we understand.
Have you equipped them with what's necessary to win? I think the Jets will play hard again. Defensively, they just got to be much better. They got to live up to some semblance of what they're supposed to be, because the defense is the strength of their team.
Not anymore.
And they're not showing that. And I think that's one area where if they want to have a chance against Miami, they've got to play better defense. Much better defense.
Let me tell you something right now. They do not have professional linebackers on his team. Now, I don't know if you've seen.
Well, they got a young kid there that's supposed to be pretty
good.
He's
terrible. He gets pancaked 8 times a game. He's brutal.
They get rid of the other guy.
David Harris.
Yeah,
David Harris was, you know what, though? I got no problem with that. He was a veteran guy. He's not even really playing in the wings.
They're barely playing him.
He's not playing even there.
No, they cut him.
So,
because they're tanking.
Would he be better?
Yes.
I don't know.
But would he be better? At least he was a pro.
Would he be better in the locker room with young linebackers helping them? And is he worth it? That's the question. And I don't know the answer to that. But getting young linebackers ready to play, that's the other area.
Yeah,
They don't do a lot of going forward in college either.
Yeah, well,
it's a weird mix when you're obviously tanking, even though Christopher Johnson won't admit it. But you also, like you said, you want some veterans in the room to like help.
Well, and you got to have the right veterans, because if you have the wrong ones,
they take
your young players down a dark road, and
that's
it's hard for coaching. But I would say they have to play well defensively. But when you look at, okay, what is their talent base on offense? What can you say?
They've actually been
just go execute, don't turn the ball over.
The offense has not been bad. The
offense
has been competitive,
because
to be honest.
They execute and they try not to turn the ball over.
And the head coach has nothing to do with the offense. That's also a big.
Well,
see, this is what gets me. I got to say this, Carl. Seriously.
This coach was supposed to be this great defensive coordinator in Arizona. All he does is the defense, and the defense stinks. It stinks. It stinks.
It does stink.
I mean, there's no other way to say it,
listen,
Carl.
The expectations, I would say, yeah, they're disappointing based on the talent that they have, the expectations, and the way they've played before. These guys have actually played at a high level before, so I think, but like on the outside of the defense and in the back of the rookies in the back of the defense, the cornerbacks are,
they're not any good.
And then so now you got.
We don't know about the safeties yet. They're still.
Well, that's why I said they're young guys.
Well, we don't know.
They haven't been bad.
They've been okay.
Right. They're young guys. You can see. You'll watch them grow because they.
Right. We don't know what they
are. Kids are high level, high competitive kids. But the things that you do know about this defense is that front four. And I was excited about this group. I thought this would be the group that stabilizes the team, while you know the offense gets its footing and finds its place. I thought this defensive line would be much better. And that for me personally, is disappointing because I think they have really good players there. And I thought they'd be performing a lot at a higher level because I've seen them. Butchie?
That's me.
What's up, Butchie?
Butchie, is it you? Look at Butchie.
Butchie is decked out in a LT jersey with pins.
I'm sorry, folks.
I got to say hello to Butchie.
Butchie from Bayside.
Butchie in Bayside, right. Great Giant caller. The toll-free number is brought to you by Mohegan Sun, Connecticut. We'll take some of your calls with Carl before.
Night blanket?
All right.
Okay, God bless us.
Let's go to Andrew in West Orange.
Andrew, how are you? What's up, Andrew?
Carl, at this point, the Giants are 0-2. I don't think they're going to win. I really, really think that this team is going to eat them for lunch. But with that said, at one point, do you start looking at a backup for Eli? Do you wait another year? Do you wait on the third year? If they go 0-3, it's too late to bring someone in because you haven't identified anybody. The second year, do you identify someone, get them going, or do you wait a third year and it's too late?
Well, I think you're game to game, but being 0-2 and you're talking about pretty much changing the direction of the franchise is way, way, way too early. It's premature to say the least. This team is too talented to be this bad. Now, where they are now and being a good football team, we don't know yet. But I know they're better from a talent standpoint. They're too talented to be where they are.
The issue I have is that the problem is these guys have not been, should I say, scolded by what they've done. Guys like Odell, it's too late to say, you know what, you did something bad.
Scolded for what?
Well, just if you bring
be specific.
Odell, for instance, some of the things he does off the field.
Like what?
Or even on the field.
Like what?
Any of his antics.
Like what?
I don't have to bring him up. I think it's fairly obvious.
No. If you want him to be scolded, you better tell me what it is.
Well, do you like the things he does off the field?
Is it off the field or on the field?
Well, what's fun? Are you talking about the boat incident last year? Are you talking about the dancing when he had an injury to his ankle? No, what are you talking about?
He doesn't know.
Is that what you're talking about? What is he talking about?
Your issues,
those are good examples.
Okay, well, you know.
And thank you for the call.
I had to give you the example.
Yeah, you need us to do it. That's a problem.
Cut Odell, bench Eli, and then we're off to some other thing.
Well, and also, I think the Giants are planning for the future of quarterback. They drafted a young quarterback, but that's for years down the road. That's not for this year. That's probably not for next year. Really, it's going to be how Eli goes, I guess.
They're planning for Sunday.
Well, yeah,
that's their only concern. I think, you know, that was just not a sane or sober call.
Well, neither aspect of it.
No,
First of all, this
wasn't sober.
Look, Odell did some things early on. I thought that the Josh Norman explosion was bad, but that was Tom
We're
Coughlin.
So gone from that.
No, but I'm giving an example. Right. But that was years ago now.
Right.
The boat thing was a bad look. It wasn't anything illegal. It just was a bad look because he didn't back it up with a big performance.
How far gone are we from this stuff? Like, I know everybody wants to forget. He wants to forget the boat incident.
Of course.
That can hang until he performs in the playoffs. So That's fair.
Sure.
But all this other stuff is so far gone. I just...
Well, and right now, when you look at the issues that the Giants have, that's not it.
It's the
least. They need Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes.
They need the guy more than anything right now.
Yes.
Eddie in Westchester's next on the
phone. What's up, Eddie? How are you?
What's going on, fella? What's going on, fella?
Eddie.
Hey.
Joe,
I'm
one,
sitting here
Jets,
I'm getting
Joe,
crazy about Butchie's.
Miami. Miami 34, Jets 8.
34-8. Okay.
How you like that? Don't stay home for it. Now, Carl, I heard what you said about the Giants.
No, I'm staying home for it. I'm a Jet fan. You think Miami will beat them that bad this game, 34-8?
Oh my God. It's going to be a, beatdown.
Are you a Jet fan? Eddie, are you a Jet fan?
He's a Dolphin fan, guaranteed.
No, I'm a Ram fan and a Giant fan.
A Ram fan? Wow.
No, he's a Ram fan and a Giant fan. No, you're either a Ram fan or a Giant fan. Which one would that be?
Well, I live in New York, right?
Okay.
If I had season Giant tickets for like 8-10 years, that would make me a fan, right?
I guess. But you're really
right. When I was a young kid and they played in the 70s, my cousin was a Viking fan, and the Rams were always playing the Vikings in the playoffs. When there was a 14-game season, Christmas, there was the playoffs. I picked the Rams. I went the opposite.
All right.
That was before I got introduced.
Yeah, so if the Rams Giants played the Giants, who are you rooting for?
I mean, it's how who's going to go further? If whoever's going to go further.
That's a great answer. Wow.
That's a good question. That's a good answer.
All right. You know what? Thanks for the call. I don't want to hear any more.
I have a problem with people.
Oh, my God.
I'm a Ram fan. I mean, you're either a fan of the Rams or you're a fan of the Giants. You're not both. This is nonsense that you're both.
Yeah, that's,
there is no both.
That's it.
You know,
I don't think the Jets are going to win on Sunday. Now, he said 34-8, so if my math is correct, he's got a 26-point spread.
Yeah.
I think the Jets will cover plus 26.
Yeah, I would think
so. I'm going to go out on a limb. Believe it or not, they're going to cover the 26.
One thing about these Miami Jet games over the years, no matter how bad the Jets may be, okay, and Miami would – not that I'm suggesting this is any great Miami team, because I'm not saying that.
Right.
These games are crazy games. I mean, you never know what's going to happen in a Jet-Dolphin game.
Well, that's the beauty of having division.
Division games,
they know each other so well, and you can throw a lot of the things out the window, and they can plan to play just exactly some of the things that hurt them.
Yeah, I envision this actually being a relatively close game if I had to predict. I'm not taking the points. I'm not doing
that. I almost took them in the picks, but I didn't.
But I can see
the defense is so bad.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's so bad.
It comes down to this. I don't know how good the Dolphins are.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's what it is.
I think they're a 7-win team.
And let's be honest, they were fortunate to get by the Chargers. I keep saying San Diego. To get by the Chargers last week.
They should have lost.
If the kid makes the field goal, they lose.
You know what I'll do it for? They should have lost to San Diego.
Of course they should have.
All right. You know what? The mayor of L.A. basically said we don't want these guys. So I'm not even going to call them.
No, they're in charge.
And they don't even play.
San Diego.
What do they play in? They play in this like
joke.
Box.
It's a joke.
I mean, they're a joke.
It's a disgrace.
And they
got two teams in L.A. and nobody cares about either of them.
It's kind of like the size of an arena football.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't feel much different. I'll tell you that right now. The hell's the difference? We'll come back. We'll talk to Peter King. Carl, excellent job as always.
Are you done, Carl, already?
I am done.
What happened to this?
Hello, Peter King, your battery.
My iPad died. I apologize.
All right. Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
I can't tell now.
My iPad mini would last for like an hour and a half, and then the battery goes. We're using that as a clock. I will tell you it's 11:56, though.
All right, good.
Maybe I'll turn another mechanism into a clock.
Thank you, man.
Please do
that. Good job, Carl.
Paul, it's always a pleasure.
Next time you
Paul, by the way, you got a sign on the wall.
Oh, they kept us up?
Yeah, of course you
kept
us up.
That wasn't like a
what do you mean they kept us up? What do you think, we're going down now?
No. We're doing a bunch of shows here. They can't erase us.
I don't think it's the most flattering picture of me in the world. But I mean, you know.
Hey, I'll tell you.
It's hard to have flattering pictures of me.
For those who didn't hear, last week they put a picture, like a drawing really, of Joe and me and Carl. It looks like we're Carl's children. Like, Carl's got his arms around us.
Right,
he's
10
feet taller than us. It's almost like he's teaching us about the birds and the bees. Like, he's like, all right, all right, Joe.
Yeah.
So here's how babies are born.
Please.
That's the way it looks in the picture. Am I right, Carl?
Inform me how that works.
Please tell me, Carl.
No, it's just,
I have no idea.
It's a depiction of if we were standing up actually taking this picture, both of you guys would be at my shoulders.
It's so true. You know what?
That's where it is. I think I'd come up to your waist.
But, hey, during the break, teach me about the birds and the bees, all right, my friend?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.